can't see. I'm as blind as a bat. All right. I think that's going. All right, y'all. Well, welcome, everybody. Hope y'all have had a nice day. It looks like it's just about to unload on us out there here in a moment. So I'm glad we all made it in safe before all that hit. Well, if you don't have a bulletin, we got several over there. We will need that tonight. As far as announcements, hopefully everybody knows kind of what's on the agenda for this coming Lord's Day with respect to Miss Ethel's celebration. That'll be a great event, and in the bulletin it indicates what things you should consider bringing. The main thing is just know we don't need dessert. See an elder if you have a creative interest in helping us with some bulletin board help that's needed. Just see one of the elders or talk with us further about that. We'd love to discuss it with you. And also, just preliminarily, there is a date coming up for a work day where we're actually going to be, it's all going to be indoors in all the heat, and it's just going to be some painting of our hallways, not the insides of the rooms, but just the T of the hallways, and that'll be at the end of next month, and that'll be up here in the announcement section of our bulletin this coming week. So be on the lookout for that. It'll be on a Saturday. Any pressing announcements or anything I missed that we need to make note of? Okay. Well, y'all, we are here to be called into the Lord's presence in worship, and let us just take a moment of silent prayer, and then we will proceed with being called. Well, it's our good and loving Father and Shepherd that calls us into His presence tonight. Let's stand together and let us hear that call from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands form the dry land. Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us open our hymn books at this time to number 44. And let us sing out to the Lord, How Great Thou Art. Consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and
brings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And thinks my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God His Son doth swear, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And take my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And take my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our shepherd, and we praise you and we glorify you this night, that you are a God who continues to pursue us with your goodness and mercy, a goodness and mercy that will pursue us all the days of our life and will dwell in your house forever. Oh, Father, your presence alone evokes within us an adoration and praise unto your great name. Father, we thank you that you are a great and mighty God. You're greater than all of our circumstances. You're greater than all of our fears. Indeed, you're greater than all of our sins. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who's trustworthy, a God who is ever with us, and a God who will see us all the way to the end. Father, as we proclaim tonight how great thou art, we do long for that day when we'll enter your presence in perfection and there proclaim how great thou art with all of your people and all of your angels. Our Father, until then, we ask that you would bolster our faith, that you would strengthen us in this present age, that you would cause us, Father, to look upon thee and to follow after thee and to seek your glory in our life. And we ask that by your Spirit tonight, you would cause our gaze to be set upon Christ. We pray that you would deepen our trust in you, that as we sing with our lips, you are great, that our hearts would be convinced and convicted as we consider indeed how great you are. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that it is, as it is sung tonight, as it is read tonight, as it is preached tonight, you would do that good work within our souls that we so desperately need. We pray this with dependence upon your Spirit in the great name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our public reading of God's Word from the book of Exodus. We've come now tonight to chapter 12, verse 29 to the remainder of this chapter, beginning with chapter 12, verse 29. Exodus 12, 29. People of God, this is the word of our God. Let us heed this word and let us give our attention to it. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you've said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out to the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All of the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you." Thus all the children of Israel did, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Thus ends the reading of God's word from Exodus chapter 12. Well, let us take our bulletins tonight as we confess our faith this evening. This morning, our confession came from the Canons of Dort concerning the perseverance of God's saints all the way to the end. And tonight's confession of faith deals with much the same. But let us, as we confess this, may it not only be the conviction of our souls, but may it stir and satisfy our souls with its truth. Christian, what do we believe concerning the perseverance of the saints? Those whom God has accepted in His beloved, effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere in it to the end, and be eternally saved. Amen. Thanks be to God for His grace that perseveres us to the end. Let us take our hymn books tonight and turn to 635. And let's stand again as we sing "How Good It Is to Thank the Lord." 635.
the grass, the wicked grow. When sinners look rich here below, then is there endless ruin nigh, but you, O Lord, throned on high. Lord, boast shall fall before your might. The wicked shall be put to flight. The righteous man shall flourish well, and in the mouth of God shall dwell. He shall be high and goodly tree, and all his life shall fruitful be. For righteous is the Lord and just, he is my rock in which I trust.
Well, I invite you tonight to open God's Word once again to the book of Ephesians as we continue with our study through this book. We continue tonight with our consideration of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But as we have noted before, this last section, which is chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, constitutes a unit of thought. So I'll read the whole text, though our concentration again will be from 15 through 17. People of God, hear the word of our God, beginning with chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let us ask the Lord to illumine us this night to His Word and bless it to our hearing. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we confess to You that we do not always treat it as bread for our souls, sustenance for our spirits, that from which we find our strength spiritually. Father, we pray that You would help us to hold a high regard for Your Word. This night we humble ourselves under it and we ask, Father, that You would feed us Your Word as bread for our souls. We ask, Father, that You would illumine our minds and hearts to this text, that we might understand it aright, and may You apply it by Your Spirit to each one of our hearts individually. For Your glory and for our good, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Well, we took a moment last week to consider how Ephesians is organized. And we saw that Paul has now brought us to this summarizing exhortation in verses 15 through 21 that serves as a summary climax of the walking that he launched us into in chapter 4, verse 1, when he says, live in a way that is worthy according to your calling. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. He shifted us from that predominantly indicative of chapters 1 through 3 into a predominantly imperative section in chapters 4 through 6. The summarizing character this paragraph, it helps us to appreciate the use of that word then in verse 15. Last week we saw that essential to a proper understanding of what Paul's conveying in this text is to understand the theological subject of the word, the words, the time and the days are evil. As we turn to different passages last week throughout the New Testament, seeing how Paul has used this phraseology in other letters that he has written, we saw that this word time is also equated with the idea of age or domain. This domain of existence, this present age of existence that is strangely introduced into human history, which is that time between the fall of man into sin and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we call this time frame, or this age of existence, strange is that God has submitted man and all of the cosmos into an estate that is short of the eschaton. Namely, he has submitted it to a corrupted estate. Of course, the introduction of this corrupted estate instead of the entrance of a destructed estate, which is the finality of the cosmos, is all due to the fact that God has a plan of redemption. And because God has a plan of redemption, he did not bring it to its finality at the fall, submitting it to absolute destruction, but he submitted it rather to this strange era of human history known as a corrupted estate. Hence, you and I, who are believers in Christ, though we are participants in the new creation, we still live in this present age, which Paul has characterized as an evil age. We saw in the book of Galatians, he refers to it as this present evil age. In this particular text here, he says the days are evil, as he writes here in our text. We saw last week, we considered rather, not only the evil age or time in which we now find ourselves, but particularly we saw the importance of the first five words of our text, which was really the sum total of what we considered last week. See then that you walk. See then that you continue to walk. The key to walking the Christian life is to not stop walking. As was mentioned to me by someone following worship last week, the Puritans would say, persevere, you shall, but persevere, you must. What a wonderful phrase. Well, indeed, we must keep walking. My heart's desire, you may say, is to keep walking. But what is it going to take for me to keep walking? Well, it's going to take wisdom, wouldn't you say? It's going to take wisdom to keep walking. He says in verse 15, walk not as fools, but as wise. And then he says the same thing in verse 17. Do not be unwise. This matter of continuing in the walk and persevering in that walk involves wisdom. Yes, it will take wisdom. But what does this wisdom entail, I ask you? Well, that's what the remainder of our text takes up, that we're going to consider tonight. There are actually three things that Paul brings to our attention here that constitute this wisdom that's needed to keep walking in this strange estate in which we find ourselves, this present evil time. We're going to consider two of those tonight, and I've chosen to hold off on the third until next time. So, first, he provides us a helpful adverb in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, I thought for a moment, and perhaps you're thinking now, can't remember the last time I used the word circumspectly in the English language. It's not something that probably comes up on a daily basis for us. But it very helpfully captures what Paul is calling us to. Circumspect is simply a word that circum, the first portion of that word, just means around you or about. Spect comes from looking or examining. So when you use the word circumspect, or it literally means to look around, to look around you and examine around you. It's little wonder that our passage begins. Did you notice it begins with the word see? See then that you walk. It shouldn't surprise us he uses the word see, because what does circumspect have to do? It has to do with looking, looking around you and examining about you. To practice circumspection is to carefully consider all circumstances around you and all possible consequences of them. It's a careful observation of your surroundings, giving attention to the details. Spiritually, this means walking in a way that involves awareness. Awareness of all of the dangers about you. Awareness of the schemes of the evil one. Not being ignorant of those schemes. It means walking very carefully, vigilantly, mindfully, watchfully. It's characterized by a spiritual awakeness, an alertness spiritually. Not a walk that looks clumsy. Not a walk that looks mindless or lazy, haphazard, or on autopilot. That's not what Paul calls us to if we're going to continue to walk faithfully and persevere to the end. It must involve wisdom. And if you're going to walk wisely, you must walk circumspectly. Not on autopilot or lazily. It involves a deliberate alertness with an exercising of a careful examination, a careful survey of this present evil age. The same word is actually used of Herod when he summons the wise men together. And he says to them, go and search circumspectly for the young child. Look carefully for this young king named Jesus. Look all around you for him. And that's what he uses here when he says that you and I are to walk. What should characterize our walk is to walk circumspectly. Alert. Vigilant, mindful. How does your walk look and how does my walk look is our question tonight. Do you know, as you look around you and consider your own heart, do you know what easily entangles you? See, one that doesn't know what easily entangles them is one that probably is not walking circumspectly. Carefully. Do you know what arena you must avoid in life so as not to get caught up in sin? Do you know what leads you to think like the world and to be like the world? Is it a particular person with whom you keep company? Is it a group with which you associate? Is it a certain music? Is it a certain form of entertainment? Etc., etc., etc. Do you know what leads you to think and be like this present evil age? Do you know where you are vulnerable? Do you know where your family is vulnerable? Do you know where are the ledges of your life? When you get close, you can easily fall. Is your walk one that where there's urgency to be on the lookout for such ledges, avoiding them at all costs? See, that's living alertly, vigilantly, carefully, circumspectly. There's some areas of our life wherein we tread carefully. You could probably name many in your life. Areas of your life that you tread very carefully, giving much thought. Perhaps when it comes to safety, locking your doors, setting alarms, treading most carefully in that area because you know there's a lot of danger. there's a lot of potential for there being disaster. So we tread carefully in that area. Perhaps when it comes to finances, there's this careful planning of a budget or checking every angle of an investment to make sure it's the right one. Some tread very carefully in that area in their life because it requires this circumspection. Perhaps with some it's their cars. With some it may be relationships within your home or close friends, taking care with the words that you choose to use, or you make sure that you meet the various needs and making sure needs are met with that individual or loved one. Again, treading very carefully in that area of life. But brothers and sisters, what about our spiritual lives? Is that most important? What could be more important? That most important area of our life, do we tread carefully? Are we exerting the same level of circumspection in relation to our spiritual walk as we do some of these other areas of our life that we deem very important? Areas that we must tread carefully and walk circumspectly, if I can use that. Are we most watchful and most careful when it comes to our spiritual life? You know, it's most interesting that Peter, when he writes about our adversary being like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, it's interesting the language he invokes there. He says this: be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Did you notice that? In the whole context of this matter of this roaring lion that is of great danger to us, his exhortation to us right out of the gate is be sober, be watchful, tread very carefully, walk circumspectly, if I can use that language there. Paul is aware that you and I are in danger, which is why he's going to go on to talk about armor in chapter 6. Many of us have those memorized, those verses. Why is he going to talk about armor? Because there's great danger. This is where we must tread very carefully and walk very circumspectly, not being ignorant of the dangers about us and the schemes of the devil. But what must be the disposition of somebody that is inside that armor that he's going to get to in chapter 6? Well, one must be practicing circumspection in his walk, walking watchfully and vigilantly. Paul knows how easy it is for one to become desensitized to this present evil age so as not to really ascertain its real danger. Danger of slipping into thinking like the world, doing like the world, operating like the world, being wrapped up in this present age and thinking like it. Oh, how easy it is for one to be lured into thinking that sin is just not really all that bad. No, not that sin. It's not that bad. Now, you know, engaging in this sin, it's not going to hurt me too bad. It's kind of harmless when you think about it. Or, oh, we might think it would be so much easier and so much more enjoyable to just join in with the sons of disobedience and be at home in this present darkness. Be at home in this present world, living in its lusts and its uncleanness and its covetousness and its pleasures. It would be so much more easy. Paul knows that that is enticing. Paul will often parallel this phrase, the present age, the present time, the present domain. He'll sometimes just use the simple word world to capture that. The world. You know, Paul had a very close companion in his ministry. His name was Demas. And Paul had some pretty glowing things to say about this man. If you look at the end of some of Paul's letters, he will talk about Demas. He'll say that Demas is someone who is my fellow worker in the Lord. He will list his name off right next to Mark and right next to Luke. That's how high up Paul regarded this man Demas. He perhaps taught the Word of God along with Paul. But then something very, very sad takes place. Because at the very end of 2 Timothy, we hear these remarkable words. Paul writes, and you wonder if he wrote it with tears, "Demas has forsaken me." But what's real interesting is that Paul gives us insight into why he forsook Paul. He puts a comma after it. He says, "Demas has forsaken me, comma, having loved this present world." You hear the echo? This present age, this present time, this present evil time. The days are evil. He loved this present world and has departed from me. Paul knows how easy it is and how enticing it can be for one to just say, you know what? It's easier just to go ahead and join the sons of disobedience. You know, Demas seems to have been walking, and he seems to have been walking well. Perhaps he was walking in a way that when Luke looked at him, and Mark looked at him, and Paul looked at him, and Peter looked at him, he looked just like Luke and Mark and Peter and Paul. We would do well to digest into our souls this exhortation. See then that you walk circumspectly. I just wonder if Demas was one not walking circumspectly, not looking about him and being aware of the danger. Paul is well aware of the enticements of this age, that we are challenged both without and we're challenged within. It's a challenge outside of us and inside of us, the corruption that still remains. So it shouldn't surprise us that he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, watchfully, carefully, vigilantly." If we're going to keep walking, it must be done wisely. And one of the essential ingredients of walking wisely is walking circumspectly. Secondly, redeeming the time. Walking circumspectly actually coincides with what Paul writes next. "See then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know, redeeming comes from the commercial language of the marketplace. In its most simple form, the word is just buying something, redeeming something. Instead of buying a good, Paul introduces this concept of buying time, redeeming time. Now, when you and I use the word buying time, you probably know exactly what we mean. It means to delay something or to stall something for a future occasion. Delay is not in view here at all. Of course, redeem has a long history in regards to God and His people and His salvation of His people. At the most general level, redeem would be to set free. In the case of God redeeming Israel from the bondage that's in Egypt, He redeemed them from Egypt by setting them free from that bondage. But when applied metaphorically to the idea of redeeming the time, Paul is indicating that this present age, which is in bondage to evil, is an arena in which we who are members of the age to come are to make the most of our every moment to walk in godliness. We who are not bound, we're not walking according to the course of this world under the reign and the tyranny of evil, but yet we live within this evil domain. And we ought to be diligent in rejecting the folly and the moral laxity that characterizes this present age. Here is where redeeming the time coalesces with walking circumspectly. for it's calling us, brothers and sisters, away from spiritual laxity. A spiritual laxity that fails to account for the urgency of walking carefully, walking diligently, walking watchfully. This is a call away from spiritual complacency. Paul had in his day like we have it in our day. This is a call away from spiritual complacency, a spiritual complacency that fails to account for the urgency of devoting every moment and every occasion to God's glory. We're called to redeem the time. Though you live in this evil time, don't live for it. You live in this present evil age, but don't live for this present evil age. We don't live for this passing evil age so as to make much of it and to live for its goals and its pleasures and its cravings and its ambitions. No, as members of the age to come, we are enabled by God's Spirit to live a life that's counter to those who walk in the passions of the flesh. We're enabled to yield fruit from the age to come, which He's already given us insight into, that which is good and right and true. Back in verse 9. Such fruit does not flow. It doesn't flow with the rushing river of this present evil age that is in the grip of sin and in the dominion and reign of sin. By God's Spirit, we live a life that's counter to such a rushing river. Redeeming the time means living your life in this time and age so as to make every effort to not get caught up in the rushing river. Are you making every effort? Redeeming the time, being vigilant, being watchful, treading carefully. Taking every effort not to get caught up in the rushing river like a Demas, whose heart was found to love this present world. We need to make every effort to guard our hearts from sin, to live righteously before the Lord. Now, I know that probably many of us have memorized that phrase, take up the whole armor of God. But do you remember what comes after that phrase, take up the whole armor of God? I want you to look at it with me, and you might be surprised what you find. Look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. See, this heavy theological concept of Paul that you find throughout his letters, you find even when he gets to talking about the armor. He says that in light of this present age, the darkness of this age, therefore, because of that. See, he's thinking circumspectly here. He's not unaware of his surroundings and of this present evil age. Therefore, take up this whole armor so that you may stand in this day which is evil. Isn't that the same language he's using in our text? Redeem the time, for the day is evil. The days are evil. It's the same theological concept that he's introducing here that becomes crucial to understanding the whole armor chapter in chapter 6. We must be aware of this present evil age and act accordingly to these exhortations that he's given to us. Brothers and sisters, redeem the time, having done all to stand, everything you can to stand. This word redeem or set free is the same word you might already be thinking of Galatians 3, where we're told that the Lord Jesus has set us free, redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse from us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Because of his curse-bearing work on our behalf, he has set you and me free from the curse. He set us free from the consequence, the grand consequence of sin. All that we deserve, he endured. And this redemption that he has accomplished includes our being set free from bondage and being set free from the tyranny of evil, of sin, so that we by his Spirit may indeed carry on, that we by his Spirit may stay the course. And brothers and sisters, if we're to stay the course, we must walk wisely. What does that mean? We've seen that tonight. What does it mean to walk wisely? It means to walk circumspectly. What does it mean to walk wisely? It means redeeming the time, for the days are evil. May this so characterize our walk, brothers and sisters, that we may endure to the end. For persevere we shall, but persevere we must. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you for the comfort that it brings our hearts, the assurance it brings our hearts, that we shall persevere by your grace. Those whom you have called as your sheep, you've called them into your pasture, and you will not let them go, but you pursue them with your goodness and your mercy all the days of their life. And they shall dwell in your house forever. Father, we thank you for the assurance that your grace is indeed that great. It's that powerful to keep our hearts from falling in love with the present world so as to depart from you fully and finally, as we confess tonight. But no, we shall persevere and not fully and finally fall away, only because of your grace. Yet, Father, we desire to indeed end this race. We want to finish and finish well. For persevere we must. And Lord, we know it's going to take wisdom, and we beg you to give it to us. Help us, Lord, to glean from your word tonight that part of walking wisely to the end is to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Indeed, these days are evil. We pray that by your Spirit, Father, you would cause us to be watchful and vigilant in all of those things we saw tonight. May you instill within us, Father, that carefulness as we tread carefully in our spiritual life. We pray that you would do this by your Spirit for your glory and for our good, your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond in song tonight, using the words of the same song that we concluded with last Lord's Day, 575, an appropriate hymn. Let's stand together as we sing it.
Fortify the Lord.
powers of darkness down and win the well for faith.
You may be seated. Top of our list to be in prayer for is that God will indeed grant us the grace to carry on wisely, as we have learned tonight, circumspectly redeeming the time. May that be true of us as individuals and as a church. Let us pray to the Lord for that. You may be aware that there are a number of things to keep in prayer for this week. Be in prayer for Gloria Shank. We were notified, has pneumonia. I think she's been trying to figure out what in the world's wrong with her because she's not been doing well for a little while now, and they discovered that she does have pneumonia. I don't know the very latest of today on how she's doing. Anna Catherine, do you know?
When I spoke with her this morning, she is not doing well at all. And not able to eat. She's
okay. She's still at home right now, huh?
She is.
Okay. Well, let's commit her to prayer. Nicole, who is one that we've been praying for some time now, who's Melissa DeBoer's niece, died, as you probably saw come out on the email. She died a couple of nights ago. I think it's been a couple now. Friday, okay. But please pray for Melissa. I know her heart is saddened, not just because of the loss of her niece, but because of rejected efforts to bring this girl the gospel. And I think she's just doubly sad that there was no evidence at all that Nicole had any interest in a Savior. So be in prayer for Melissa. I know she's very, very sad over this. It has been great seeing Lynn Betts. If you don't know who that is, come see me after so I can kind of describe her for you, because it is a delight to see her. She's been here 3 Sundays in a row, and we've been praying for her to recover physically because she had told me my heart's desire is to come back and worship, and y'all please pray for me that I may be able to come and worship. And the Lord granted her that. And so it's been a delight to see her. And I would encourage you to encourage her along as she now has been able to return to worship. Please be also in prayer this week, just to be mindful of our sister, Anna Catherine. The anniversary of Buddy's death this coming Thursday. So keep her heart and mind in prayer. Pray that the Lord will comfort her and sustain her this week by His grace. So keep our sister in prayer in that regard. Be also in prayer for Lorraine and John and Joe. John today, has today been a difficult day for her?
Yes, I think she's reached a milestone where she's going to be more in bed.
Okay.
And maybe not get up. And we'll try to get her up.
Okay.
So just progressing.
Yeah. Much weaker by the week. But loving the Word and a faith that is set on the Lord Jesus.
One thing. At this stage, we're about to go somewhere where we haven't been before, and we need knowledge and wisdom of how we're to take care of her.
Okay.
And to be able to get together with hospice so that they can teach us what we need to know. So, I mean, she's been in a relatively good as far as hospice is concerned. So the nurse had to come by that often, and you know, so we need the nurse more. We need the medicine plants.
Okay, we'll pray for wisdom and direction with that. Thank you, John. Continue to keep our brother, Bev, in prayer, who had, as you know, went to Houston for the first of 6 months of treatment. And any report on how that went? Obviously, y'all made it safely back.
For safety, that's a praise. I was enrolled. I got medicine. I started to take the medicine. And the treatment, it was a one-time treatment that I got last time, had very good results from the labs. It brought some numbers down that needed to come down. I have to go back this Friday for a shot, just go and come back. But probably not to do that again for some months. But I'll still have to go once a month. Made arrangements where I could do labs, like mid-month labs in town here. So that saves a trip. Thank you for your prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. Continue to keep him in prayer. Ethel Schenck, praise the Lord. she turns 100 on Friday. Friday. And encourage you to encourage her. And the Lord has been very faithful to her these many years. And she's used, I know, going back many years, that she's just, God has used her in many of your lives over the years. And I know you're grateful for what the Lord has done through her and continues to do through her in our midst. It's amazing what a blessing a lady of 100 years can be, even presently, to this congregation. And we're so grateful. What a testimony of God's grace. Dolores Gilkey had a successful surgery this week. For those that you don't know, right when she moved to Cleveland, she had a fall that just crushed a lot. And right when she got there, so she had surgery. And Lynn, do you know the very latest to provide us on how she's doing, by chance?
She's in a lot of pain from the surgery and the plates they had to put in her abdomen. Mm-hmm. But she's with her son and his family, and they have. I'm loading the pod and things are in her apartment. Her dog's coming this week to set up the apartment, but it'll be some time before she'll be able to go there.
Okay.
But she's very grateful for our prayers, and I think she'll talk on the phone if you call her on her cell phone.
Wonderful. Same cell number she had before. Yeah. And it was an email that came out with the latest address. If you want to send her something, that you can send that to the address that went out from Lynn. Thank you for that update, Lynn. There's a new request, and this will, Lynn, we can add this to our prayer requests. You all probably know the Nate and Laura Knutson. They're a young family with six boys. They kind of take up a whole pew when in Sunday morning worship. But there's been a request made by Laura Knutson. Her aunt, her name's Nancy, is the closest aunt to her. And she just found out a few days ago that she has, I think it's stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she was very sad this morning, having just received this news over the last couple of days. But if you could just make note of Nancy, who is Laura's niece, Laura Knutson's aunt. I know that the family would appreciate your prayers for Nancy and the others. Sam, again, our condolences to you with Tim's wife. Do you know, did the funeral go well, or was there a funeral this week? His sister? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was last week.
Yeah, I've called him. I haven't talked to him.
Okay. I realized that they had already had the funeral. Only a few more weeks for Amy Roddy. Just let me put her before you again to pray for her. The Lord's been very kind to sustain this pregnancy way beyond what initially seemed what could be possible in terms of complications. So just keep her in prayer these next few weeks, if you would. What if I missed or anything? Yes, ma'am, please.
I want to add The boys have been attended to by Dr. Cherry Benton, and she just found out that she has breast cancer.
Hmm.
And I'd like to see her breast cancer.
Okay. Doctor. Yes, Mike.
I talked to Alan Brown Friday night. He sounded great. He's thankful for the prayers of the congregation. But he did mention Mary Frances.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Please. Yeah, please.
But anyway, so Mary Frances is not progressing like the doctors desired. And now they're saying it's scar tissue. And that they are going to have to put her back under August 6th. And they're going to just bend and stretch that leg until that scar tissue is released, is the way I understand.
Yeah.
And she's in a lot of pain. And so just remember Mary Frances.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Alan sounded great on the phone.
Yeah, he's doing well. Thank you so much, especially for mentioning Mary Frances. That's surgery on the same leg she just got out for. And the other leg is not the best leg in the world. From what I understand, they're eventually going to have to deal with that one. But, boy, it's got to be discouraging to her. Not just painful, but discouraging having just got out of surgery with that leg and now having to go back. Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay. Not worried at all.
Good.
And she's not in a right now with her sister because her home is too story and all the bedrooms are upstairs. She's not going to stay quite a while. She's probably going to be homebound for a good bit longer. This is quite a shock to her. This is not a good diagnosis at all. It's very difficult to deal with this right now.
Well, we need to bring her before the Lord for sure. Miss Mary Lois.
She had the same surgery, and she's going through the same thing. The knee is stiff, and she's got her.
Oh, boy.
And also, their house flooded. Their apartment from above. Upstairs, above them, pipes broke, and it's
This is Corley's.
That's Corley Jr.'s wife.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a young fellow, 62.
Yes, Anna Catherine.
This is from Colorado, Rob Lionberger. And the way to connect him, his wife was Carolyn Camp, who was our pastor at the little Southeast Presbyterian Church when it existed, the original one years ago, and he passed away. And she married Rob subsequently, and he has cancer now. So she cared for Marvin for over 10 years with Alzheimer's, 24/7. And now this precious man that she's, with now is not doing well. She requested this
project. Okay, thank you so much, Anna Catherine. Any other prayers? Yes, sir.
Brother Gordon Lee has a kidney stone.
Yeah.
I understand it's quite painful.
Yeah. To keep Gordon. A number of prayer requests mentioned tonight. Let me just encourage you again to just shoot it off an email to Lynn with how to best word your request, and that way we can include that on our prayer list. And a number of needs. We have a lot of needs. Someone I was talking with this past week says, I can't remember the last time we had this amount of needs of weight in quite a while, so many in our midst. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now as your children. We thank you for this privilege to come to you. And Lord, we first and foremost place before you ourselves, and we plead with you to work on us. Father, we pray that you would help us, that you would sanctify us. Help us, Lord, to be able, by your Spirit, and able to obey and respond positively to these exhortations put before us in Ephesians chapter 5. Help us, Lord, to walk circumspectly. Let us not be lazy or on autopilot spiritually, but help us to be aware of the danger about us, this evil age that can be so enticing and so deceptive. Help us, Lord, not to deceive ourselves into thinking that sin will not affect us. Father, we pray you would help us in our walking to walk wisely. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for your continued work in our midst as a church. Help us, Father, to continue valuing your word, preaching and hearing and believing the truth of your word, reveling in the gospel of our Lord Jesus and seeking to honor him with our lives. Our Father, we pray our lives would be indeed a whole burnt offering in being wholly given over in devotion to you. Father, you know our many needs, and we know much of these needs that are spoken of tonight are temporal in character, but yet needs that are real indeed. And so, Lord, we bring them to you, and we ask that you would hear us, that you'd bend your ear towards us and hear our cries on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Father, we do lift before you the Jennings family and ask, Lord, that you would be kind and merciful to Lorraine. Lord, keep her heart affixed to the truth that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed. We pray, Father, that she would place them on the scale pans within her heart and be convinced, as Paul was, that the sufferings of this present age, that characterize this present age, they aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that's coming. May that, Father, bring her great hope as she walks by faith to the end. We thank you, Father, for these examples among us of perseverance, like Lorraine, like Ethel, like Bill, like Buddy, like Mr. Slayton. We thank you, Father, for these dear brothers and dear sisters that have shown us what it looks like to stay the course. May, Father, encourage us all the more in our walk. Do be with our sister Anna Catherine this week, Father. We pray that you would comfort her soul. You would take that clay in your tender hands and shape her heart, Father, in a way that keeps her stable and keeps her steadfast and keeps her upright, knowing that your countenance is lifted as you shine your grace upon her. Remind her, Father, of your tender mercies and your love, your goodness and mercy that's pursuing her. Father, we do thank you for Buddy. He is much in our remembrance of having been among us here below, and it brings our hearts much joy and gladness as we think upon him and what he means to us. But we especially lift our sister to you and pray your blessing upon her this week. Father, we have many physical needs among us, even dire needs among us, and Lord, we bring them to you in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus, and we bring them to you now by faith in his name.
help the Lord. Her pain is great, and help the Lord, and our bodies become easy. We struggle with faith, we struggle with our love. So, Lord, we pray that you undergird her and carry her every step of the way during this difficult time. Be with Maxine and Alan as they attend to her. We thank you that Alan is home. We know, Lord, that he has a long road ahead of him as well. So, Father, give Maxie the grace that she needs to God to care and attend to those in her home. We pray that the Spirit of God would abide with them in great proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Father, we continue to lift up Mrs. Gale's struggles that she has in her back. We pray, Father, that you give us a heart to visit and call and communicate under her. As we do, we do not carry graceful conversation, encouragement to her heart. We pray, Father, that you continue to guard our hearts and minds in Christ, thinking that as we feed upon your word, and remind us of the stubbornness of our own hearts and sin there, and that we, Lord, return from those sins away and walk in them worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we can do this better each day, Father. Help us to grow in our sanctification. Continue us in faith. Grant us repentance and teach us your own self and your life in Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I lift up the glory of shame. Pray that you would enable her to get well and to be able to celebrate next Sunday and heal her quickly. We pray for the Mitch family and Alyssa DeBoer. Pray that that you would work in the members of that family of grace and salvation. Be merciful to them, we pray. And pray that you give them Alyssa the comfort she needs.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that you have many times show us answered prayer that even we can see. You always answer our prayers rightly and best. And thank you for those times that we said, and thank you that we invest this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we
come
back and worship with us.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that you be with her and bless her. And we do continue to pray for Dale and his travels and his. And the medicine that he's getting, that we pray that doctors would be wise, that the medicine would work, and that he's making plans that he put out for his care, that he would be gracious to him. And I do lift up Dolores also, and pray that you would give her strength to endure the pain she has, and that she would cure from pain and give her. That the surgery that she's had be effectual to the point of her having a strong arm again, sharp. Just thanks in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Sister in Christ, and the pregnancy, and pray for the family would go well, and the baby would be strong. And pray for my brother Gordon, and be successfully treated.
Yeah. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let us stand together as we receive the Lord's blessing tonight. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.